Chapter 21. I waited until we were back in our room and had the chef preparing dinner before I called Irving. His phone rang a half dozen times before he finally picked up, sounding out of breath.
"Yeah,"
Irving answered.
"It's Steven," I said. "I have a few things for you."
"I have a few things for you too," he snapped, "as in a few more dead bodies."
"What?"
I hadn't expected that at all.
"We found 3 dead bodies in the last 24 hours,
Irving went on.
"All of them seemed to die the same way as the others, but they were all soaking wet."
"How were they wet?" I asked, trying to pull a mental image of what he may be talking about.
"Their clothes were soaked through, hairs matted and soaked, just wet and shriveled," Irving explained. "I think people are getting off the ship somehow. They aren't on land too long, it would seem, before they just shrivel up and die, though."
"Were the new bodies near reflective surfaces?" I asked him.
"2 were, but 1 wasn't," he answered. "What the hell is going on? People are starting to get truly freaked out here. Veda's chat with the town was great at the time, but the effect is fading. This is getting out of hand."
"We'll be back soon to help out," I told him. "Meanwhile, I have a name for you to check against the bodies you have."
"You found out who was on the ship?"
Irving calmed down for a moment. I sat on one of the white couches nearby. "Not all of them, but we did find out who the first mate was. His name is Don Rolst. We spoke with his sister, Melissa. He's a very troubled individual, and she would like to know if he's still alive or not. I didn't tell her about the deaths, just that the ship had been located."
"Don Rolst. Got it. Anything else?"
Irving answered.
"Yeah, we talked to the captain's wife. She didn't tell us anything substantial for the most part. We are working on getting the ship's manifest right now," I told him.
"Keep me updated," Irving demanded. "I'll see you shortly."
He hung up abruptly, and I looked at my phone. The man was easily stressed, and he sounded like he wasn't far from his breaking point. I kind of felt sorry for him. As I tucked my phone away, Veda joined me on the couch.
"I looked into the cruise line company. They went out of business years ago, but I did locate a storage facility that may have some records they used to keep," she informed me.
"You found physical records for a company that doesn't exist? How long ago did they close up shop?" Her resourcefulness always impressed me. Veda smiled and fiddled with her fingers.
"They closed up shop 2 years after the Haven Mist went missing. That was well before digital records. During that era, the government required them to keep company records for 7 years before destroying them, and they simply never got around to destroying them."
"How in the hell did you find all that out?" I laughed.
"I found the CEO's secretary. She was a young girl when she worked for him and arranged the transport of the records herself,"
Veda replied.
"She's rather nice and gave me the address."
"They're here?" I felt my heart beat a little faster with the feeling of finally getting a break in the case.
"They sure are," Veda answered. "The storage facility is a couple of hours away."
"That means we'd have to go tonight. Our plane leaves in the morning," I mumbled, reciting our schedule in my mind.
"One more thing," Veda said. "We'll need to break in. The storage company has a decent amount of security, and since we don't have any official ownership to anything there, they would send us packing if we asked to get in."
I leaned back and folded my arms, contemplating breaking and entering. Can we get past security, realistically? The last I want is for any of our faces to end up in a mugshot.
"I can get us past security, but we won't have much time to find what we are looking for and get out," she replied. "They have a patrol on duty that makes rounds every 20 minutes. While hacking cameras and such is simple, I can't disable an actual human."
"So that gives us around 10 actual minutes to get in, find what we are looking for, and get out," I summarized.
"Right around that," she answered, "and we'll have to stay quiet the whole time."
I pondered how we were going to execute the break-in for the moment. 5 people wandering around seemed like a good way to get noticed. "How about you, Sophie, and I go? Freya and Delaney can stay here and get us ready to leave in the morning." Right then, Sophie plopped down on the couch beside Veda.
What about me going somewhere?
Veda turned to her. We need your amazing canine hearing tonight. We're breaking into a storage facility.
Ah, okay. When are we leaving?
She asked, completely accepting of the idea. The two of them looked at me. I glanced out the window. The sun was just starting to go down. We'll eat as soon as dinner is done and head out. The next question is how are we going to get there? We don't have the van, and it's probably not wise to book a car to take us to commit a crime. Veda smiled like the little mastermind she was. That's all taken care of. The hotel rotates its fleet cars for detailing every 2 days. Today is one of those days. They park the cars needing a cleaning in the parking garage, and the contracted company takes them away a few at a time to work on them. They'll likely not notice one missing until the end of the overnight shift. As long as we can get the car we take back in under 6 hours, we should be free and clear. Sophie chuckled, crossed her arms, and leaned back, looking at Veda.
So we get to steal a car, break into a storage facility, steal records, and make it out of Florida without being in handcuffs?
Sure, Veda replied seriously. Especially you. Nobody arrests an adorable puppy. Sophie laughed harder.
You are not wrong.
I stood up and turned to the girls. I'm going to let the other two know what we have planned. Then we are going to keep our fingers crossed that we find what we are looking for. Delaney and Freya were skeptical of our plan at first, but once Veda laid out the details for them, they got on board. We went over the exact process for our mission during dinner, and then it was time to leave. Sophie shifted to her canine form, and Veda advised us where the hotel security devices were so we could avoid having our faces seen on camera as we made our way through the hallways, to the stairwell, and out the back door. She told Sophie where to walk to avoid the cameras altogether. After all, we had checked in with the German Shepherd. She was a surefire way to be singled out if the police ever did trace us. As we stood at the door to our room, I strapped a bag to my back that had everything Veda needed to do her digital magic and anything we may need to get into the storage unit. Freya and Delaney wished us luck, and we headed out. Veda led the way through the halls and down the stairwell. We moved more quickly than I'd expected, and by the time we were out the back door of the hotel, I was beginning to get a slight James Bond feeling. We crossed the regular parking lot and slipped into the parking garage unnoticed. When we made it to the spot where the fleet cars were parked, there were several workers gathered around. We ducked down behind a large cement column and waited for them to exchange the clean cars for the ones that needed servicing. Veda peeked out around the column and then pulled back.
I'll hack the system on the car nearest us, she whispered.
Sophie nudged me with her nose.
That card was just returned, which means it's clean. We don't want that one.
I tapped Veda's shoulder. We need a dirty car. We don't want to return a car that's been documented as clean to show up dirty tomorrow. That would be a little suspicious.
Good point,
Veda whispered as she pulled her tablet out of the bag on my back.
It was Sophie's point,
I told her, not wanting to take credit. Veda winked at Sophie and started tapping away on the tablet. She looked up just as the last worker got into a car and drove it away to be cleaned.
Let's go. We're taking a third car in the middle row.
Sophie and I followed as Veda led us to the car with the security system she'd disabled. When we reached it, Veda tapped her tablet a couple of times, and the locks clicked. I dropped the bag on my back on the ground, opened the driver's side door, and cringed, waiting for the alarm to sound.
You have so little faith,
Veda joked.
It's not that, I replied. Just years of too many movies where perfect plans get foiled by ridiculous security surprises.
Veda opened a door to the back seat so Sophie could get in, slid into the passenger seat herself, and then the three of us were ready to go. I looked over at Veda and put my hands up.
How am I going to start this thing?
Oh, here,
she said, digging through the bag I put on the floor in front of her. She pulled out a small box with a large round attachment on one end.
Put this over the key column and turn it.
I took the box and lined it up over the mechanism designed for a key to be inserted. At first, it didn't seem large enough to cover the unit, but I gave it a shove, and it clicked into place. I took a deep breath and turned the box. The engine started, and I sighed my relief.
we were through step one of our crime spree. The whole process hadn't taken very long, so when we drove out of the garage, we hoped anyone watching security would just assume we were more workers taking the car to be cleaned, since several others had just left. When we got a couple of miles away, the three of us finally started to breathe easy, not realizing how tense we were in the first place. As I navigated the car onto a highway per Veda's instructions, she leaned back in her seat and smiled.
"That wasn't so tough,"
Sophie barked.
"What's tough is smelling the rotting French fry that some kid must have tucked between the seats back here somewhere."
I laughed, and Veda looked at me. "Sophie is concerned with the scent of a rotting French fry." Veda joined me in my laughter, which did us both good. Soon after, we settled into silence, and Sophie laid down on the back seat. We had a bit of a drive ahead of us, and the most dangerous part of our plan we had yet to execute. As we cruised down the road, carefully minding the speed limit, we each prepared ourselves.